we have time for. So I'm going to take advantage of every minute I can get, and then I will probably end up recording the rest and sending out a link to the recording, because Rav Jared is giving shiur next week, and I don't want to risk anything. No, you are never living that down. Okay, that's what happens when you tell the truth. So we are on Dalid Amud Beis in Ksuvos at this point. Last week we began talking about the tragic case in which a man and a woman are supposed to be married. They're about to be married, and then his father passes away, her mother passes away, and what the Gemara said was that they bring the body into a side room. This man and woman are going to have relations. Then they will take care of the kavura, the burial. Then they will have Shivas Yimei Hamishta, the 7 days of, we call it feasting right now. When we get to the Gemara and Daf Zayin, we'll be a little more specific about the status of these 7 days. It's some kind of a Yom Tov for them, followed by Avelos. So the Shir last week, we talked about, number one, what is this Be'ilas Mitzvah? What does that mean? There's a mitzvah for them to have relations, and we gave three different explanations. We suggested it could be peruvu, like the Rambam seems to say. We said it could be the mitzvah of ona. That was the Aruch Lener's conclusion. Or the possibility this is somehow completion of the nisuin. And we talked about what exactly the connection is between that and this 7 days of simcha that they observe afterwards. So what I want to do this week is, first of all, to ask, and I reproduced, by the way, the Gemara for you in Source Aleph. It's the same Gemara we saw last week. I'm not going to go back through it. But the what I want to talk about this week is the question of relations for an onein, because that's what he is at this point. In between the death of his parent or her parent, right, they have the status of an onein. And what do you mean when you say they should have relations for a mitzvah? An onein is exempt from mitzvahs. So what kind of a mitzvah is this? That's the Marashal's question, and we're going to give some answers to that question. More broadly, I want to discuss a little bit about the question of whether an onein is allowed to engage in relations, or is it in fact prohibited? It's, you know, hopefully not something on people's minds when they're an onein. Nonetheless, it's a substantive question. And then we said after that, in the Gemara, it said, Boa be'ilas mitzvah, they have relations, uporesh, and they separate. Is that a description of what happens, or is that a prescription? There's actually an obligation for them to separate. Which is it? And then we say in the Gemara that afterwards, for 14 days, the 7 days of Simcha, Mishta, and the 7 days of Avelos after that, he sleeps among the men, she sleeps among the women. And what I want to know is, first of all, mechanics. What exactly does that look like? I want to know, is that specifically a rule for nighttime, or does it apply by day as well, that they have to have chaperones with them? And most substantively, the Gemara is going to give us an explanation for why we go so far as to need these chaperones to be with them. And Rabbeinu Yohanan is going to add a dimension to that, and I'm going to want to know about how we understand that rationale and how we apply it to different cases. Are there exceptions to the rule? Are there other cases that should have the same practice? So, like I said, we're not getting through all of that in this hour. It's simply not going to happen. But we are going to hopefully get through, you know, a substantive amount of that, and the rest of it I hope to record. So, first of all, going back again to where we started, the this onein, who is engaging in be'ilas mitzvah, when ostensibly he has no mitzvahs. So if you take a look at source base, right after I brought you the Gemara, I brought you the Marashal, she'ela, onein al imo v'yeshlo ben limol ech yisnoegimo. The question is, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody has a baby boy and then loses his mother. So what's his practice in terms of bris milah? He doesn't have a mitzvah of providing bris milah for his son, but day eight is coming. Now what happens? So the Marashal asks this question regarding our Gemara, and he says, I don't understand. How is he engaging in Be'ilas Mitzvah? And he actually says, not only do we say, Onin Pater Mikol HaMitzvos, but as he puts it, Eino Rasha Lahachmir, and Onin is not allowed to be strict. He can't say, too bad, I want to engage in this mitzvah. That's the argument of the Marashal. So the Marashal makes a very interesting argument with far-reaching applications to the Onen. He says, if you see the part where I bolded in source base, Ela bevadei chayav b'mitzvos pratios. Klomar derami alev olav atzmo v'yesher l'hiskayim ayadei acherim. He says, I have news for you. An Onen is obligated in mitzvos that are personal to the Onen and can only be done by the Onen. Kihai, like this case. Ela shi kilu chachamim alav upatru mitfilo mikol mitzvos me'achashu asu b'mitzvah zushal ameis. However, he says, there's a second reason an Onen is not obligated in mitzvos, and that's because Chazal were lenient and they said, we're going to exempt you. So it's a two-tiered thing with an Onen. He is exempt from any mitzvah that, he's obligated in any mitzvah that is only done by him. However, the rabbis came and they exempted him from a whole bunch of mitzvahs because he's involved in taking care of the mace. And he says, in the case here, in our case, the Onen who's going to have relations, Vahacha, She'enu mevatel shum davar me'inyan tzarchei meiso.
Our relations, bris.
Right, in the bris case, but he applies it to ours as well, correct. He says, in our case, he's not actually preventing the, care of the body, because the body's been moved into another room and the funeral is gonna happen, when it's gonna happen, regardless. So he's not preventing the burial by engaging in either, again, in our case, the bia, in that case, the bris milah, so he can go ahead and do the mitzvah, and therefore they don't exempt him from him. It's really a remarkable idea, like many of the Marashal's ideas. The Marashal's tshuvos are some of the first tshuvos I ever read, and I was just enamored. I think it's Ayin Beis, Ayin Vav, where he does the famous one about yarmulke. He talks about the fellow who's sitting and learning in Beis Medrash, and his yarmulke is distracting him. It's too heavy on his head. And he says to take it off. It's a whole thing. It's a major tshuva on the Inyana Yarmulke. Those who want to know something about Yarmulke should read that tshuva. Very interesting. But don't practice it. Just read it. Yeah.
Somebody asked Rav Huttner why he was not wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Just as some kind of a keeper. It says, the shmir of the cup.
It's hard on my head.
My head.
Oh. Okay, so that's one answer. But the other answer to give is that this is Ona, and Ona is different. And there are two versions of this answer. The first version that I would give as the answer to this question is found in Sors Gimel, Ram Blum, Shut Beis Sha'arim. And his answer is, failing to perform Ona is a losaseh. Ona is not, remember that an Onen, we say, is obligated in losaseis. An Onen doesn't get to go eat treif. So he says, failing to perform Ona is a losaseh. It's a prohibition. Ve'ev shalomar demenias Ona hu lav. He says, failing to do Ona is a lav. Umi lav and gam Onen eno potter, and he is not exempt from it. But then he retracts that. He retracts it for three reasons. Number one, he says, I'm not going to go through it inside because there's too much to cover. But number one, he says, it's only a losaseh if he refrains from ona in order to pain his wife. It's not a violation of ona if there's something else that keeps him from being with her, but he wishes to be. That's number one. Number two, he says, an onen is only chayav in a lav if he is violating it. If violating it involves a kum aseh. In other words, eating treif is an action that violates a los aseh. Failing to engage in ona is a lack of action. He says that's not the same thing. That's a very interesting argument in its own right. And then third, he says, an onen is chayav in a lav where somebody else can do it, like bal yirah, bal yimatzeh. Right? Somebody else can get rid of his chametz. But here, it's only him. So all very interesting arguments need to be unpacked regarding Dine Avelus, and I recommend this Beis Sha'arim for those who want to read more. But they all lead him to reject the idea that the Onen is chayav in Ona because violating it is a losaseh. Instead, we take the approach of the Ma'asayla Melech, Rabbi Yeshaya Zilberstein, in Source Hay. The argument that he makes is there's a chiyuv ona for her, and him being an onain doesn't end his duty of ona on her behalf. Meaning, so I'll take a look at the line that I brought you. He says, Kan, I'm sorry, no, I jumped to hey, I want a dalet. He says, venerally owed. You see that? He says, venerally owed. The hine tells Hashem kasvu, yeah, I'm just going to jump. The v'havi zechus ha'isha, it is her right to ona. Lachen mishum ani nuso didei lo paka zechus dida v'lo mifter mitzvah zu sha'alav muto lahashlem chuka. It's her right. You can't forfeit her right. He gives you a different example. He says, kibud ava'im. He says, an onen is still chayav in kibud ava'im. The onen is not able to say, well, I'm busy taking care of kvura, and therefore I don't have to bring you a cup of water. He says, it's not true. He says, an onen is still chayav in kibud ava'im. I could have seen the argument that that's not true, but that's what he says. And then he also brings us what I brought you in source hey, which is the last answer, which is a very interesting answer, I thought. He says, osik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah, right? So he says, the guy is on the way to getting married before this happens, before his father dies. So he's osek b'mitzvah of getting married, and therefore he's exempt from the mitzvah of kavura, and therefore he's not under onain status. I thought that was a very interesting idea. Yes.
Sounds like he's ready for the wedding. Everything's cooked.
So once things are fine,
he hasn't begun the mitzvah yet.
So take a look at his language. Take a look at the language. I brought you the one line there. And hey, he said he doesn't have much more to say about it. He has kan depito kvar afuya hu osek b'hachanas hamitzvah. The bread is baked. He is involved in prep for the mitzvah. That's what it means to be osek the mitzvah. Yes. I mean, that definitely does. The classic case is the pruta de Rabbi Yosef, right? I'm not engaged in Hashavas Aveda. I'm taking care of the Aveda.
Right. But that
gets into the fuzzy question of where we define the boundaries between Hechsher Mitzvah and Mitzvah.
Right.
That's very unclear to me. Yeah.
The resolution that would also imply that right from Sunday if the wedding is on the until Yom Rivi, you also technically be also going to Hechsher from Onay from before the being the Mason of that day.
So it's very unclear to me. He says you're involved in Hachanas Mitzvah. That's all he really says. Did I send out the invitations? Like I don't know, and I don't know why pito afuya is part of hachanas hamitzvah if the mitzvah is nisuin, right? Like I mean, I hired the videographer. Is that hachanas hamitzvah?
No, but it's already finalized. Like I hired the photographer. Maybe I could like postpone it. Here, the meal is already ready.
Oh, so now therefore, that's an interesting argument. I know, that's my question. Why is the bread being baked the point?
I think that point, there's no way back. That point, there's no way back.
No, but well, one of the views of what the mitzvah is was nisuin, but not having a party.
No, but wasn't that having a party that shows us that it's already in that next stage? I thought that was one of the things you said last
year. It's very unclear. Very unclear. I would repeat stuff for you online, except that I haven't heard any answers that convinced me of anything yet. Daniel?
It's technically a mitzvah.
Yeah, but that's not the mitzvah I'm engaged in. You're right. Daniel says, you know, there's a mitzvah of having a meal, but that's not what he says. When he says, osek b'mitzvah, he doesn't mean the mitzvah of a wedding meal. He means the mitzvah of nisuin. Yeah, it's hard to say this. And Shoshone asked in the chat, is it because food was more valuable then? So that's definitely a piece of a whole concept here of saying that they have to have the wedding now because throwing out the meal would be a terrible, terrible loss. Although I have to say, wedding meals with what people spend on those wedding meals. I mean, people take out loans. Yes, food, you know, was scarcer then. Sorry? Right, that doesn't tie into the mitzvah point, it just ties into why we're not delaying everything until after the burial and after the Shiva. I want to go back to this because there's so much, and this is really like a small part of what we need to cover today. By the way, just He said, Rav Zilberstein. Be clear. I don't know of any relationship between Rav Yishaya Zilberstein and Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, except that the idea that he presents here is creative and sounds a lot like something I could hear from Rav Zilberstein. But I don't know of any connection. The Bar Ilan, I looked at the bio on the Bar Ilan of it, and they didn't mention any connection.
When did he live?
19th century.
Nah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. But that's just, you know, an interesting note. The bigger question to me is an onain allowed to engage in tashmish, or is this unique because it's bias mitzvah, whatever we define bias mitzvah as last week of our three choices, that's special. So there's a lot to be said on this. I'm only bringing you a piece of this very big discussion of an onain and tashmish. View number one, a very strong view in the Rishonim, the Rambam seems to say it, is that an onain is mutter in tashmish in general. Onain is mutter in tashmish. If you take a look at the language of the Rambam in source Vav, kol zman shelo nikbar hames, as long as the person has not been passed away, eino aser bedavar min hadvarim sheha'avel aser bahen. He is not prohibited in anything that is aser for an avel. Avelus has not begun. And he goes on to talk about David HaMelech and the baby that he first had with Bathsheba and how, right after the baby dies, David bathes and all of that, he says, before the burial. Why? Because, as an onain, these things are mutter, and if you look in the tour, he actually brings you, in Yerodeah Shin Mem Aleph, he brings you the Ritzgeus, who specifies and says what the onain is mutter in, and one of those things is Tashmish. So that's a simple answer. The answer is no. An onin is mutter in tashmish, and therefore this isn't a chiddush, right? The fact that here he's ba'al bilas mitzvah, sure, why not? He's allowed to. The other view is no. Onin is usser in tashmish, and our case is unique because it is bilas mitzvah. If you take a look at Tosfos in Sur Zion, he says, La'achar shenik barlo, they're only doing the burial now, the tashmish now, pre-burial. Once the burial happens, that's not an option. And then he goes into a little bit of a discussion. Well, you'll see it. Kedamrina b'samuch, dvarim shal tzina noheg. Like the Gemara says that the avel is going to need to follow during the week after the burial. Dvar avelus shebetzina, private avelus. We'll talk more about that. V'diek lamidiksani kol osan ayamim hu yashin ben ha'anashim, and they support it from the fact that it says he has to sleep apart from her. That shows that he's observing avelus shebetzina. He's observing private avelus. Miu me reisha dahacha lo hava matzila meidak. But he says you can't prove this. You can't prove dvarim shebetzina from the first part of the line. You can't prove it from the fact that it says they have tashmish beforehand, while the body is in another room. That it's only when the body is in another room that that's when bia is permitted. Why? Because you could reject that by saying, you could have said that bia's mitzvah was unique and different and allowed even afterwards. Avokasha l'Rashba. This is not the Rashba. To be clear, this is the Rashmi Shantz. You will never see the Rashba quoted in Tosfos. That's just anachronism. The Rashba asks, Amailo diek midiksani uporesh. Why didn't you deduce that let me make sure I'm saying it clearly because I feel like I'm rushing this Tosfos a little bit. Why didn't you deduce that bias mitzvah can only be before the burial from the fact that it says uporesh, that they stop? Right? That they are together, and then they have to separate. Doesn't that prove to you it had to be before the burial? That's Tosfos' question. That's the Rashi Mishnah's question. Michlal denoeg dvarm shel tzina midelo hiter ela bilas mitzvah davka. From the fact that you only allowed bia number one. You didn't allow bia number two. So only bias mitzvah is going to be permitted. Va'omeri, the Ri says, you could have argued the reason they separate is because of the reason that people in general separate after initial bia, and that is because she bleeds and we're concerned that there might be damnida in there, and that's why the separation is happening. That's the Ri's answer. But the point is, and the part that's relevant for us, is the page. The fact that we want to prove from uporesh The fact that they would separate shows that Tosos believes, the Rosh Mishnah believes, that the Onen is only allowed to engage in Bia because it's Bia's mitzvah. But a second act of Bia would not be permitted. So that tells me an Onen is Aser in Tashmish. Just that, this one case, it is permitted. That seems to emerge from this Tosfos. Ramban in Toras HaAdam says, of course the Onen is Aser in Tashmish. Why is this even a question? He brings it, I brought it in Source Ches. He quotes that Ritz Geyus that I mentioned from the tour, and he says, Kol Zman Shel, this is the Ritz Geyus, Kol Zman Shel Chalal of Avelus, as long as Avelus has not begun, Rashai B'Tisparas, Tichboses, Rechitza, Sicha, Tashmish Hamita, the Ritz Geyus says, Tashmish is Mutter, Ad Kan Divrei HaRav, he says, I'm sorry, the Ritz Geyus is not correct. Oh, he didn't say sorry. He just said, the Ritz Geyus is not correct. The part that I wanted is, this is what happens when you spend too long preparing the second part of this year. This part I prepared already last week. Let me explain it. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches discusses the state of being an Onen on Shabbos. And there, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel permits Tashmish on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Ona. He says, Tashmish on Shabbos for an Onen would be permitted to fulfill the mitzvah of Ona. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Tana Kama says, Aser. And we paskin like the Tana Kama. That's the beginning there on in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel. So Ramban quotes that in order to say we paskin like the Tana Kama, that means that an Onan is not allowed to engage in Tashmish, right? If you're telling me the Tana Kama says he's not allowed to engage in Tashmish on Shabbos, right? This is an Onan, not an Avel. This is an Onan. He's not allowed to engage in Tashmish. It's very clear, right? I mean that's not hard. I should have really just brought you the Gemara in Brachas because I would have said it a lot more clearly, but it's here. He says, Da Tanakama Asar Afilu B'Shabbos. The Tanakama prohibits it even on Shabbos. V'kasaka Daitin the Gemara, and the Gemara's assumption is the reason why he does is Mishum Diyesh Avelus B'Shabbos, and there they say it's not about Avelus B'Shabbos, you can read the rest and refer back to the Gemara in Brachas Taf Yud Ches. So he says it's not so. That's number one. Second, he says, because our Gemara says, like Tosas brought, uporesh, bia, and then poresh, you separate. So that tells me only the initial bia was okay. Rav Yashiv, commenting on the Gemara, says that no, poresh might just mean go do the burial. It's just, this is what happens. It doesn't mean you have a chiyuv of uporesh. But that's view number two. View number one is, an onen is mutter in tashmish in general. View number two is an Onen is not allowed. However, this case is unique. And then a third view, and this is from Hagos Revel Yashiv on our Gemara. Onen is allowed to engage in Tashmish in terms of Aninus. He's Mutter. Like the Ritz Geyus says, like the Rambam implies, Onen is allowed. However, there's a separate issue. Separate from any issue of Aninus Avelus, it's wrong. It's a Kalos Rosh issue. It's inappropriate. So writes Rav Yashiv. I brought it for you in source. Tess, Omnam od nira diyesh lomar debeetzem hadin gam l'Ritz Geyus aser onen betashmish. Letter of the law, the Ritz Geyus also believes that the onen is not allowed to engage in tashmish. V'had dekas of Ritz Geyus demutter ein ze ella demitzad dinei avelus mutter shadayin lo chalu alav. As an avel, it's mutter because he's not an avel yet. Avomi komakom aser mitzad dezoi kalus rosh. Yeah.
It's kind of a stretch. Like, it's allowed, but not really, because of other reasons. If he says the Tashmish is allowed, the Tashmish is allowed.
No, it's allowed in the sense that there's no Chiyuv Avelus for him. He's not an Avel. However, no, he still can't do it.
It's wrong to say that he's allowed, he's Mutter.
You mean you're bothered by the Ritz Geyus saying
he's
Mutter?
Yeah, I'm saying he's Mutter, so it's not Mutter.
Yeah.
Maybe Kalos Rosh is best of a, it's like it's not full on Esther, it's like a suggestion.
It doesn't sound like it. He says Usher. I mean, he says usher. He doesn't say like, but why would you do this? He says usher. You know? No, I don't think it's the Fnim Mishuras Adin. I think he says usher.
He wants to suggest nachkamina that that's why it's okay
And he goes on.
Because
I brought you
no
more.
Color sprouts. Well, why shouldn't there be color sprouts in there?
Right. So I should finish the line in Rebel Yashiv, because it's true. He does go on. He says it's usher in general. Then why, because of Kalas Rosh, then why is it that we allow it in this case? Since the only reason we're allowing it is in order to start the regel, following the view that I brought last week, that Bia is actually necessary in order to start Shiva Simei HaMishta. So therefore, it's not called Kalas Rosh.
Why not?
Because it's necessary in order to start the Yemei HaMishta. You're doing it for a halachic reason.
Because
your misgeret is not one of Kalas Rosh.
Why?
Because he said so. That's what he says.
Pardon. The other thing is, it's a mitzvah, so you can't call it really Kalas Rosh.
If it's a mitzvah, you can't call it really Kalas Rosh. Well, and that's essentially what he's saying. But then there's a mitzvah, right? We talked about there being mitzvahs last week. Yeah, in a chanami. I think Rebbe Yashiv's idea that the Isser is Kalus Rosh actually fits with a thought brought in Shir Rabbeinu David by Rabbi David Povarsky, on a separate point. The Gemara there also says, and we're going to spend a lot of time for the rest of Shir on this, take a look at Source Yud. Amar Mar, Hu Yashen Bein HaAnashim Vehi Yashena Bein HaNashim. Right? We said that during the 14 days, the 7 days of Mishnah, the 7 days of Shiva, so they sleep apart. But not just apart, he sleeps among the men, she sleeps among the women. We're going to talk about how that looks. But Messiah Leil Rabbi Yochanan, Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afal Pi She'amru Ein Avelos B'Moed, Aval Dvarim Shel Tzina Noeg. This supports Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, even though there's no Avelos on Yom Tov, and we compare Shiva Simei HaMishta with Yom Tov, nonetheless, private things do apply. And then further, that's the Gemara on Dav Dalet. So we have two apparently contradictory positions regarding Avelos Betzina, private Avelos, during Mishta and during Regel. Because on the one hand, these are actions that we associate with Avelos, right? It's Avelos Shebetzina, right? It's Avelut. Right? It's acts of mourning. On the other hand, asks the Menchas Chinuch, we don't count these towards Shiva. We don't count this day towards Shiva. Menchas Chinuch points out the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Aleph, which says explicitly, Shabbos eino mafsik avelus va'olo leminyan Shiva. Sherei k'tzas dine avelus noagim bo. Shabbos doesn't interrupt Avelos. Shabbos counts towards Shiva because Avelos is being observed in part v'ayinu dvarim shebetzina. Tashmish Anita. So ask the Menchas Chinuch, I don't understand. It's good enough to make Shabbos count for Shiva. Why isn't it good enough to make these days count for Shiva?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Because you don't have any full day of Shiva. So you have to have a full day.
But it counts for Shabbos.
Every Shiva has Shabbos. So you have to.
So we're going to come back to that thought. But that's his question. You can look at it in Source Yud Beis if you don't believe me. So the question is, why doesn't it count? So the Menchas Chinuch, first of all, let me do it in order. Number one, I think the answer is the Yerushalmi. It's the Yerushalmi and Moed Katan in Source Yud Gimel. Hey, Sivun, they asked the question. Harei Haregel, Harehu Oster B'Tashmish Amita Ve'eino Ola. They ask his question. Yom Tov counts. I'm sorry, Yom Tov is Oster in Tashmish Amita for the Avel, right? Talking about, the Rachman al-Atzlan, the Kavura happens during Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, he's not allowed to engage in Tashmish Amita. And yet, Ve'eino Ola, it doesn't count towards Shiva. Af HaShabbos, Hol V'Yasur B'Tashmish Amita Lo Saleh. So Shabbos also shouldn't count. Amar Rabbi Ba, so Rabbi Ba answers, Efshir l'shiva below regel, Avali Efshir l'shiva below Shabbos. He says what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say. He says, because you can't have a 7-day shiva, no one can have a 7-day shiva. I mean, no one has a 7-day shiva, they have a 6 and something. But there's no such thing, there will be no such thing as a contiguous shiva, ever, because Shabbos is always going to come along to interrupt it. Now, the truth of the matter is, the brisker in me wants to look at it and say, okay, so what? So that will be a din of Shiva. Shiva is 3 days, Shabbos, and then 3 more days, or 4 days, 4 more days. Like, so what? Like, that could happen. That could have been the answer of the Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi can't fathom that. The Yerushalmi says it's supposed to be contiguous, and therefore Shabbos is going to count. Whereas Regel, saying that Regel doesn't count, is not the end of the world, because many Shivas happen that don't hit that don't happen with the death and burial. No, we're not even talking about where the death is before the Regel and it cuts off Shiva. Leave that aside. But most Shivas don't happen with a death occurring during Yom Tov and a Kavura happening on Chol HaMoed. So the Yerushalmi says that's the answer. And the truth is that Yerushalmi is brought in Taras HaAdam, that Yerushalmi is brought in the Tur. So that could have been the simple answer for the Minchas Chinuch. But the Minchas Chinuch's answer is that Dvarim Shebet Sina are not actually called Avelos. His Avelos Shebet Sina is not actually called Avelos. If it were called Avelos, then indeed it would count towards Shiva. So Rav David Povarsky says, based on this, if you take a look at source Yud Dalet, he says, Achen Akati Tzarech Bir, Kemet Lo Mechshav Avelos Kokach, if it's not really Avelos, Lama be'emes dvarim shebet sina noeg va'asur bohem ha'ein b'zeh mishum niyog avelus. He might tell me, hey, asur b'zeh. He says, I don't understand. Either it is or it isn't. Right? V'tzarech lomar de'ha'isur tashmish hamita ba'avelus ein zeh midin niyog avelus kechol dinei niyog avelus. He says, the isur tashmish is not a function of avelus. Ela da'avi isur al ha'avel. It's a separate isur for an avel. It's not avelus. If it were avelus, it would not apply during Regel and Mishnah. Ukmo de gam onein aser b'tashmish hamita. Just like an onein is aser in tashmish hamita, afal pi she'ein lo din niyug avelus, even though he also isn't an avel. So I borrow this to support the idea of Rav Yashiv. The idea that the iser tashmish is not actually a function of avelus, it is a separate point.
Which is what?
Well, he doesn't define it, but Rebel Yeshiv said it's Kalas Rosh. Daniel.
So it's a separate point in other points we know it this way, but we might see still call them up on that day. So why isn't that they considered one of
these? Because there is no Maisa Avelus.
Because there was no Maisa, he didn't observe Avelus. What he did was something else. He was not having Kalas Rosh.
The question is, why does that day count? Because he's in the Avel that day, but he's not in the Avelus for 7 days. Right. Isn't there a chiyuv to be nohid avelus for 7 days?
So now, but there's no opportunity.
So maybe they should add another day for avelus.
But they're saying they don't want it because it has to be contiguous, has to be in a row. I realize how bizarre this sounds. I'm not immune to the confusion. But that's the argument, is because you're stuck. It's a catch 22, right? Either this is avelus, in which case, why isn't this counting, right? Or it's not avelus, in which case, why is he doing it? So the answer is, it's not avelus, and he's doing it because of a separate iser, and it's not avelus, and therefore that's the way that he's playing the game. Therefore, these days don't count. We have one more. There's one more piece to it. Yeah.
This doesn't not work with the Yerushalmi.
No, but I think the Yerushalmi's answer avoids the problem. The Yerushalmi's answer is that you're right, it really should count, but it doesn't have this component of being inherent in Shiva, to have a regular. It would count if we needed it to, but we don't need it to, so why should we? That's what the Yerushalmi sounds like. Yeah, because most Shivas don't involve a regular. We're counting Shabbos, right? I could tell you, refraining from Tashmish Hamita is Avelus. It is Avelus. But really, that's not the reason why we count Shabbos. It's not because of that. We count Shabbos because we have to. Because we don't have a choice. That's the Rishalmi's argument. There's one more piece to this where he brings in the Rush, but I'm a little worried that I'm not going to see anything of the other things that I wanted to see. So I'm going to jump the Rush. If you look in Rav David, he has another piece to it. I'm just going to stop with him right now. There's a lot more to be said in general about Aninus and Tashmish Hamita and all of that, but it's not going to be right now. Hu yashen bein ha'anashim, hi yashena bein ha'anashim. He sleeps with the men, she sleeps among the women. So first of all, who are these anashim v'nashim? What does that mean? So there is a historic practice of using children. Presumably that was done in order to reduce embarrassment, because the kids have no idea what's going on. They, you know, you can have them be with men and women, and people are privy. You know, in a case like our Gemara's case, where it's an Avelus case, there's no embarrassment involved, it's straightforward. But in a case where she's a Nida, at the time of the wedding, they don't really want everybody to be aware of that, so you have little kids around, and what do the kids know? The kids don't understand. The Yamshel Shlomo was very, very upset about this practice. He did not like this. Take a look at Source Tezvav. Lo tov hadavar shalokchim tinok v'tinokes. He says that's not a good practice. Agibu, it's insufficient. Chada me'achar dekila leilo mistfiminayu. First of all, because they're not afraid of the kids. The kids don't understand what's going on and aren't going to remember tomorrow anyway. So they're not afraid to do anything. Oh, yifata osam shlo yiglu. Or you persuade the kid not to tell anybody. Veim sovrim shebeheter bohuli ishto. The kids think there's nothing wrong. They have no idea, like, that they're to prevent something. Uman mochabo, who's going to stop him? V'yishtiku, and the kids are going to be silenced. The Yamshel Shlomo is very unhappy with this idea. Having said that, we're going to see Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that that's what people do. We'll see that in a moment. How many anoshim v'noshim are necessary here? So the Smag and the Mordechai say you could have one shomer for each side, and that's it. Even though it says anoshim, noshim, plural. I saw the Mordechai quote in the Yamshel Shlomo, but he gave a reference to a remez in the Mordechai that we don't have or that I couldn't find, so I'm not clear where it is. He says Shavuos Tafshin Mem Aleph. So I don't know if this is a Hagos Mordechai or something, but I could not find that. But that's the statement that he brings from them, and the Yamshel Shlomo says no, you can't have one shomer, because what happens if the shomer goes to the washroom? Now you're out of luck. It's in Tezayin. I'm saying it by heart. It's right there. Shavuos Tafshin Mem Aleph. He says the Velo Nehira. He doesn't like it. Shemitzar Chachal Inakavav Im Ken Yisyachin Ima. That's it. One of them's going to go to the washroom, and that's going to be it. He does not like that idea. On the other hand, he says it's Hu Yashen Bein HaAnashim. Oh, he Yashena Bein HaAnashim. Either you need shomrim for him, or you need shomrim for her. You don't actually need shomrim for both. However, having said that, he says, but I don't win. He says the practice is like the Mordechai to have one for him and one for her. That's what he says is actually done. Yeah.
Isn't there a machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yashim regarding handing a tzuva, or making it publicly aware that a woman is
I think there is a distinction to be drawn, because here it's specifically in the context of Tashmish. There's a Gemara in Erevin that talks about people who go to mikvah and everybody knows that they're going to mikvah, and it says regarding that Arur Shochevim Kol Behema. There's lots to say about this, but what I'm saying is the sensitivity is not so much saying I'm embarrassed that we keep Hilchos Nida. The sensitivity is mentioning when they're going to be together. As the Gemara, you know, the classic Gemara about Nivol Peh says, Hakol Yodin Lamakala and Nichnas Zechupa. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to talk about it.
I'm saying the story about the Ramadan. He stopped announcing the opposite, though.
Okay. That doesn't defeat what we're saying.
We're saying it's inappropriate for people to be aware of. At the same time, we see clear states A of the Ramah and B of the Ramosha Feinstein, where people saying that, hey, okay, so people are aware, so they can't do it. That's the situation they're in.
I mean, Ramosha has an overall philosophy, and then I really want to get back to the sugya. I know, Moshe, you had something. No? I'll just note, Ramosha has an overall philosophy regarding issues of Kavod Habrios, that observing halacha is not a violation of your Kavod Habrios. So he has the case in which a woman says, you know, I'm going to be with relatives and they're not observant, and I'm going to mention to them that I'm an Ida, and therefore they're going to know I'm an Ida. He says, no, being observant of halacha is not a violation of Kavod Habrios. How one applies that is really tricky, though, because there are all sorts of cases where we don't do certain things publicly because it would embarrass people, even though you would look at it and say, well, that's straight halacha. Moshe, you want to say? No? Okay. You done?
Just as a quick note, maybe there's a way of tying it, Yashin and Anashin, and Yashin and Anashin to the Shein of Abel in the other than means to just sleep where the Shiva is instead of the people to since Shiva in that sense.
So
maybe there's anything that is related to that.
I haven't seen anything about him sleeping in the place where the Shiva is. Nothing. I haven't seen that discussed at all. I mean, we're about to find out where they are. But you know, let me hold the thought until then, and then you can, you know, see if that's relevant. Rav Moshe says in the tshuva that I brought in Yud Zayin, the Ubliyashim ben Hanashim behi ben Hanashim lo sagi b'mesha pesach yeh pasuach v'cheder imah. If the idea is that that her mother is her shomer, it isn't enough to say she's going to be in the room here and her mother's going to be in the next room and the door is open. This isn't a yichud game. They actually have to be in the room. He says that's what's required. Elashit tzvicha lishan im ima b'chadra. She has to sleep in her mother's room. And then he says, v'chein ketanim tzvicham lishan b'chadram. If you're using ketanim, they have to be in the room. So that's what I meant when I said, Rav Moshe says, ketanim could be as well. But he says they have to be in the same room. But what's really interesting to note is that the whole need for separate men and women is only where they are going to be sleeping in the same house. The man and woman are going to be sleeping in the same house. If he's staying in one house and she's staying in another house, they can be alone in the individual houses. That's all you require. The Ravid believes that they're actually, I think I heard someone mention this when you were discussing, the Ravid believes that they're actually in the same room. If you take a look at the Balei HaNefesh I brought you here in Source Yud Ches, Umidikamar Bain Ho Anashim Ubain Hanashim Mashmashatsarach Lios Babayis Anashim Vinashim Zulasia Chazin Vakala. He says the Gemara makes it sound like you have to have men and women there aside from him and her. Umiud Anashim Shnayim Miud Nashim Shtayim, two for each. Vahu Yashin Litsad Echad Imho Anashim Vihi Yashin Litsad Acher Im Hanashim. Right? He's on one side of the room with the guys, she's on the other side of the room with the girls. Nimza Yichud Azeh, and he goes on more about the Yichud that we're doing here, and we're being more strict than the laws of Yichud in general. But I thought that was very interesting. Everybody here is in the same room, and indeed that's the Ramah. The Ramah in Yeredeya Kufzadi Beis Dalid says if they are in different rooms, and when he says rooms, he means different houses, because he's quoting the Beis Yosef, who's quoting the Rashba, who says houses, not rooms. But if they're in different houses, none of this is necessary. Now, during Hachana, so Daniel Shanis asked, why isn't the act of having them sleep apart during the Regel, during the Mishteh, why isn't that Avelus Sheba Farhesia? Why isn't that public Avelus? So the truth of the matter is, when you look at the Sugya in Moikat and Chavdalid, with its discussion of private and public avelus, I come away confused as to what counts as tzina and why what we're talking about here is tzina. The straight read of that Gemara, I totally agree with you. In other words, separating, not engaging in tashmish, and other people are around to be aware of that, seems to be a public act of avelus. Nonetheless, it is still clear to me that it is true that making one's identity as an avel known is not avelus b'farhesia. Public avelus means a public act of grieving, not a public act of being an avel. And this is what I mentioned to you when we were talking about it during Hachana, Source Yates, the Medrash in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, which is brought in halachic works as well. You look at Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer is very often quoted in the Tur, interestingly. The Ra'a Shlomo Shemidas Gemilus Chasadim Gedola Lefnei Amakom. Shlomo realized that Hashem likes Gemilus Chasadim. He built the Beis HaMikdash, so he built two gates. Echad l'chasanim, one for chasan, ve'echad l'aveilim v'lamenudim, and one for aveilim and people who are excommunicated. V'ho Yisrael hochim b'shabbasos, v'yoshun bein shnei sha'arim halalu. So people would go and sit between those gates on Shabbos. This is at the site of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hanichnas b'shar aveilim, someone who walked in through the shar aveilim, ha'yasfama mechuseh, right, like they used to do, Val Safam Yate, the head covering. Az Hyodin Shu Aval, they knew he was an Avel. Vahayu Omrim Lo Hashochim Abayas Azeh Yinachamecha. People would do Nicham Avelim. And this is what they would do. This is talking about Shabbos, by the way. I don't think I actually brought the excerpt where it says Shabbos, but this was Shabbos. Vanichnas Bashar Avelim Veloyas Famachu says the Yodin Shu Menuda, how they knew that the person was excommunicated. The Mishkar Beis HaMikdash Hiskidu Shu Chasanim Avelim Hochon Lebatei Knesios Ulebatei Midrashos. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, now people go to shul. Now do they go to the Beis Medrash, and people see the chasen and their sameach, and they see the aval, and they sit with him on the ground, so that people will be yotzei gemilus chasadim. And this, again, this is Shabbos specific that we're talking about. So, that's number one. It's very clear a person can be advertised as an avel, and this is the origin, I believe, of the Hamakom Menachem in Shul on Friday night. Second piece of evidence, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis has a debate about Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, right? That's the Gemara there. And there are two shitas. We hold it's mutter, even though it's not ideal, but we hold it's mutter. This is based, Machlok is based Hillel, based Shammai there. But what's interesting is when the Rishonim explain why one would think you're not allowed to do it, no one mentions Avelus Befarhesia. Instead, as I showed you in Chaf and Chafal, if Rashi says the issue is Tsa'ar on Shabbos, you're going to be Menachem Aval, you're going to hear the terrible story of what happened and their pain and so on. And the Rambam says the issue is V'daber Davar. The issue is V'daber Davar, about how you speak on Shabbos. You're not supposed to speak of such things, and that's the discussion that you see in Sores Chafalif of what is Mutter and Usher speech on Shabbos. He invokes that for Nichum Avelim as well as Bikur Cholim. So no one says it's Avelus Befarhesia. Daniel. Well, if the point of not having Avelus Befarhesia is because we don't want to have Avelus Befarhesia, then we shouldn't set up a scenario in which people are going to come to be Menachem Avel.
What about having long hair itself? Isn't that kind of sort
of... How long does it grow during Shiva?
The fact that he's not cleaned up on Shabbos.
I don't know, he says Kaddish. I don't know. People demonstrate themselves.
Right. So Kaddish is not an act of Avelus. Kaddish is something that exists outside of Avelus Bichlal. It identifies him as an Avel. It's like I said before. You can identify somebody as an Avel. It's not an act of grieving. That's not what Kaddish is. I think there's something to be said about the shaving question. But...
So what about when we have Shabbos specifically?
Right. Right. So again, I pointed you to that picket of Eliezer.
Sure.
I think it's fine. There is a discussion about whether an Avel should move places in shul on Shabbos. The Mechaber says in Yerodei Shin Tzadi Gimel that one should not move places on Shabbos, and the Bir Agra says that's because it's Avelus Befarhesia. That's why one should not, he says, move their seat. So I could argue the problem for Shabbos is not identifying as an Avel, but moving the seat is an act of Avelus. That depends on why one moves one seat. Because as I noted in the discussion this week, the Chachma Shlomo says the reason to move one seat is in case, Rachmana Litzlan, what happened to the Avel, what happened to the mace, was a punishment for something the Avel did. So they are like a Rotzeach B'Shogig. They're an accidental murderer and they have to go through Gullus. If so, it's not an act of Avelus, it's an act of Gullus. But there is another view that says, no, it's an act of Avelus, and that would fit, you know, nicely to say that's why not to do it on Shabbos. I know there are many places also where people do move their seats on Shabbos. I don't mean to weigh in on that practice. Okay. This has been a lot of fun, but I didn't get anywhere near where I wanted to go. We got 12 minutes to go. Okay. This business of segregated sleeping. I saw the question someone asked in the chat about whether we vet the adult shomrim or do we assume they are responsible. I think we generally like want to make sure it's somebody who's going to take the job seriously. I think we do want that. I don't know how far we really go with that, but yeah. But no. But if they are adult shomrim, he's saying, you know, if you tell me you don't like having kids, so we're going to vet adults. And I think the answer is, you know, if we're looking really like if we're really worried something's going to happen, then yes, you should get responsible shomrim. But yeah, Ramosha says the practice is children. I've never been involved in actually setting this up. This has never been an issue I've dealt with practically.
It says he should sleep in Anashim.
Bein Ha'anashim, and she is Bein Ha'anashim.
Nashim, right? But Nashim and Anashim. Plural. So there's I'm a little confused about somebody thinking that they can do it in front of one person.
Right. Right. So
that seems, you know, to go against the very...
Right. And that was one view. One view was, no, you need two, because it says plural. The argument against is to say it just means among men, among women. It just means that they should be with people of their gender and not a number.
That's good.
Yeah, that would be the argument in response. So this takana, this enactment of segregated sleeping, how far do we go with this based on just the logic of it? So I brought you the Gemara in Chaf Beis, Dalet Amud Beis. Lememra da avelos kilele minida. Are you trying to tell me the Gemara there is talking about the fact that with a nida we do not require them to sleep apart, but here apparently we do? Are you telling me people don't take avelos as seriously as they take nida? Va'amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Chanina, amr Rav Huna, kol malacha sheisha osa labala nida osa labala dot. Vilu gabe avelos tanya af bisham we're not a marshal chavizishta. You know what? I'm not even going to go into it because we're lacking time. But his point is to say that when it comes to ways that we separate a husband and wife in nida versus ways that we separate a husband and wife in avelos, it sounds like people take avelos more seriously than they take nida. So Rav Ashi's answer on the top of the next page, Rav Ashi Omar, mika medames avelusa de hachal avelusa de alma. He says, you're comparing the avelos in the case where they lost a parent at the time of the wedding with general avelos. Avelusa de alma chamir delawas velasi lezelzulebe. We're still in source chav base. He says, general avelus is strict for people. People take avelus very seriously. They become very firm when it comes to avelus. They ask shilas on things they would never ask shilas about in general. It's true. People are very, you know, Yisrael Kadoshim, people are very careful when it comes to this. But avelus tahacha, but here, kevin da akilu rabbanan asi lezazule bay, people are going to take it lightly because we already have leniencies with this. And the Gemara asks, my kula, so what's the leniency? How are we lenient? If it's that we allow them to have their first bia, that's different. He's not an avel yet. That's not the kula. Once avela starts, it's serious. Elidiksani, noeg shivas mea mishta ve'achak noeg shivas mea avelas. I'm going to explain this the way that the Mefarshim standardly explain it, which is that the fact that we allow 7 days of mishta and we push off the start of the avelos, that's what's going to cause them to take it lightly. That's the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yehonah's son, writing on the Rif on the Gemara in Mori Katan, parallel sugya there, says it differently in Source Chav Gimel. V'chol osen yimei amishta hu yashabenu anashim ishta yishene ben anashim mishum she yitzro tokfo, because his yitzir is going to pull him. We don't require that for other avelus. Hacha sha'ani here is different. Shehem yemei simcha so. Because this is the time of his joy, number one. V'od, and further, shelo ba'al v'shana v'takif yitzro. They only had bia once. They didn't have it a second time, and therefore the yitzer hara is going to be stronger. I assume he's just interpreting our Gemara. He's not really thinking that he's adding to the Gemara. I think this is how what he believes is the meaning of noeg shivas yemei amishta, that there's mishta and there's simcha, and it's interrupting things, and therefore. I think that's what he's saying. Idan, you were going to say?
No, I'm not sure he means yitzer hara, but okay.
I'm using it as a phrase. Relax. Yes.
I'm wondering, according to that first answer, would this din of Yashin din and Ashin not apply in the Shabbat Yom Avelos after Mishnah?
So, right, if I take his view, maybe it should only apply for the first 7 days. Maybe it shouldn't apply for the 7 days of Shiva. It's no longer Yom Mishnah V'Simcha. I think it's a good question. I don't know. Izzy?
For it, there's logic as well. So, if his Yetzer Hara is so strong that now suddenly, because it's Yom Simcha, then it's going to come and then and be over the Yitzchum of Avelos, or not the
Lach of
Avelos, would you apply that also by regular
weddings? So we're not going to get to that. That question is noted. The Taz has a discussion about whether any of this is relevant in our day, where they have bia once, and then they separate anyway. So there is such a discussion.
By the way, as they say, note best that there's a very simple Mishnah that's one step below Kalas Rosh.
That's true. Or above, depending on how you look at it. But yeah. So, first question is, shouldn't this logic apply during the daytime? Why is this only for when they are asleep? So the Ravid is quoted as saying, I couldn't find this in the Balei HaNefesh, so I quoted it instead from the Shilta Giborim who brought it, but everybody brings this from the Ravid, I just don't know where he said it, in Source Chav Dalet. Because of a ravid, ve'eino aser lebatash mishamita, he says this only applies to sexual relations. Avo mine precious, but other ways of separating, like not having her pour a cup of wine for him, or not, or a beverage, I should say, or making the bed, or bathing him, and all those things are mutter. It's just relations that are usser, and that's it. Velo oda filo chibuk v'nisha kiyote ba mutter. But even hugging, kissing, it's all fine. It's only that. That's point number one. Okay? We're lenient on everything but tashmish hamita. And then, I know why. He also says, I didn't bring the full piece, I should have. He says, this is fine. He's not talking about at night. He's talking about during the day. During the day, this is going to be fine, and we do not need them to be separated. We don't need any of these separations by day. The Yamshel Shlomo says, well, this makes sense. It fits the Gemara. The Gemara just said they sleep apart. It didn't say anything about what they do during the day. During the day should be fine. It's only a sleeping issue and that's it. Also, he says, you know, people are around to stop them during the day. Nonetheless, the Rosh thought that that was absolutely ludicrous. If you take a look in Source Chav Dalet, V'arosh kasav harbe, v'hiflig hachacham lahachmer balayla, lahatzvich shtei mishmaros, v'hiflig lahakal bayom, lahatir yichud chibuk v'nishuk. He says, I don't understand where the Ravid's going. The Ravid's going in two opposite directions. On the one hand, he's telling me that we're so strict at night, and you need two for him, and you need two for her, or one for him and one for her, but you need mishmaros for him, you need mishmaros for her. And then on the other hand, you're telling me they can hug and kiss during the day. The Ibcha Mistabra, he says the logic is the other way. Kilamaris ha'ayin, ha'yetzim is gaber. When they can see each other, they're going to have an increase in whatever Yetzer Idan wants this to be. Hilkach yichud aser be'yom. The Gemara Yuma thinks it's Yetzer Hara, just for the record. Hilkach yichud aser be'yom kamo balayla. So he says yichud is prohibited during the day as well as at night. But you don't need to go as far as prohibiting all the other things that he agrees with. The Rush thinks that yichud should be usur during the day. So we need to deal with certain questions. If this is unique to the case where people take avelus lightly, is it part of hilchos yichud? Is that what this is, or is this something else? And then the question of what about regel, which is also Yemei Simcha, and also a time when Avelus gets pushed off. And what about other things? So we're not going to get to all the other things. Those will be in the recording. We're not going to get to anything. It's 11:27. But we're going to get to something. I'm coming back to Rav David Povarsky in the Shur Rabbeinu David. He says, this Takana de Rabbanan, this rabbinic enactment, is not part of the normal laws of Yichud. I have a very hard time with what he says, but I'll show you what he says. If you take a look at the Rambam, which is found in Source Chafei. The Rambam says, Asur lehisyached im erva min ha'arayos. He gives you the laws of yichud. No yichud between forbidden relatives, whether they're older, whether they're younger, doesn't make a difference, other than certain relationships that we're not worried about. Mother and son, father and daughter, fine. V'chasan shapirsa ishtonida kodim sheyivol asur lehisyached ima. Also, he says, the chasan whose wife becomes a nida, he's also not allowed to have yichud with her. They have to sleep apart, unless they had bia rishona. That's what the Rambam says. So Rav David points out that in the first line where he talks about the arayos, it says, being together, davar zeh gorim legalos erva. If they're together, it's going to cause them to violate erva. And the Rambam didn't say that regarding nida before bia rishona. He didn't bring that explanatory clause. So Rabbeinu David, it's in Source Chavav, but obviously there's no time to read it inside. He says, general yichud is a deoraisa, according to the Rambam. It's a biblical distancing, like we have Bayera Bayimatze regarding chametz. The Torah is saying, I want to keep you away from a mistake, and therefore I'm going to prohibit biblically, don't get close. However, our case, he says, is not really a yichud thing. Requiring shomrim is more than what we require for laws of yichud. Laws of yichud you could get around much easier, as we already saw earlier. And so he argues this is something else. This is some rabbinic Tosefes Shmira. It's not the biblical law of yichud. And he notes the Rambam, when he brings the Avelus one in Source Chav Zayin, talks about them staying apart. And the Rambam writes the reason is Kedei Shelo Yishamesh Mitaso. He didn't say what he said in Chav Hei, where he said Goreim Legalos Erva. It's kadesh lo yishamesh mitasos, that they shouldn't have relations. So he argues that the Rambam is saying this is a unique law, bein ish li ishto. It's not like the laws of yichud, it's different. Why does it matter? As he notes, it matters because yichud with an erva is a del raisa, lo sikrivula galos erva, it's potentially a harg val yavor. Whereas here, he says it's not. It's a derabanan, it's a rabbinic enactment, that's all it is. It's a fine idea, but I have to admit, the Rambam bringing them together in the same halacha in Chaf Hei makes me wonder. The fact that he didn't use that explanatory clause of gorim legalos erva, I have a very hard time with this idea that it's different from the general lo sikrivu legalos erva. I have difficulty with this. Shanus, and then we're going to stop. It's already 11:30. Yeah. I have a hard time with it. I really do. I don't know. I have a lot left to say, so I'm going to record, God willing, a 10-minute recording that may take 45. And Bli Neder, I will send out the link. Next week, Rav Jared is going to speak about Daf Hei, Cheshbon Hashem Mitzvah. Is that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Doing accountings for a mitzvah on Shabbos. We have moved from Ksuvos to Avelos issues to Shabbos, Hachos Shabbos, in this Shas Masechta. Okay? Good. Have a good Shabbos.